Hello there, it's Stuart here, the proud founder of Football DNA. Welcome back to the Football DNA podcast, the fifth episode of 2024. In today's episode, we are joined by Matt Dunn, an experienced coach and coach developer with Brighton and the Football Association. In today's episode, Matt and Ross, our host, will discuss how you can create positive relationships with your parents. Let's get straight into today's topic.
Hi there, it's Ross here from Football DNA, and we're delighted to be joined by Matt Dunn for another podcast for Football DNA. Matt, welcome to the show.
Thanks, pleasure to be here.
Brilliant. So, Matt, today our topic is really going to be around how coaches can build positive relationships with parents. I suppose before we begin, it'd be great just to have an insight into your background and how you've got into coaching and what your experiences have been of dealing with parents over your years of experience.
Yeah, so I suppose if I work backwards, spent 12 years at Brighton, working in their academy, A licensed coach, advanced youth award coach. Before that, I was teaching and I was coaching part-time in the academy. And I got into coaching when I was 17. One of my friends started running an under sevens team and asked, I need some help. Do you fancy doing it? And I said, yeah, sure. Let's go. Let's give it a go. And then was doing Saturday mornings with this under sevens grassroots team. Didn't have a clue what I was doing. Just a load of kids running around like carnage, as you can imagine. But I enjoyed it. And I thought, this could be something I want to do for a career and make a living from this. So the club put me through my level one. And then I went on to university and I've just continued doing my coaching qualifications and coached a mixture of grassroots football and academy football ever since. And my daughter's just started playing football locally. So I'm on the other side of it now as a parent as well. So I'm seeing the other side of it.
Yeah. And how's that been? I mean, that must be quite interesting for you, having obviously been on the other side of the pitch now. How have you found that, seeing it from a parent's perspective?
It's interesting in terms of just, as long as she has a good time, that's all I'm interested in. Yeah. If she has a good time in the training session and she wants to go back next week, for me, that the coaches have had success there. And the environment they've created is brilliant. She was really nervous to start with. It's a boys and girls session and she's one of the only, there's not many girls in it. So she was really nervous. But the fact that I said she wants to keep going back shows the coaches are doing something right.
Yeah, that's brilliant. I think that sort of hits kind of the nail on the head for the vast majority of parents. They just want their child to be safe, having fun and enjoying playing.
Has she had a good time? Has she learned something? Has she done some exercise? If we tick those three boxes, I'm happy and she's happy to go back. So win-win.
Brilliant. And I suppose it leads into my first question then, I guess, is, you know, from your experience of now being a parent of your daughter playing football, working in an academy and also working in grassroots, I mean, why are parents so important to engage with and maintain those relationships with as coaches?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, if you're working with the younger ones, the parents bring them. So first of all, that's the biggest thing. You've got to work with the parents because the parents are the ones bringing them to training, bringing them to matches, driving around. In academy football, driving around the south of England. Obviously, grassroots football is a little bit more local, but it's a big time commitment for the parents as well, yeah, and a financial cost to it. So having the parents buy in and having them on side and working with you, I think is really key. And one of the biggest problems I see is the conflicting messages between the parents and the coaches. Mm. So coach will be asking child to do one thing, parents then shouting on the sideline, asking them to do another thing. And that poor child's then stuck in the middle. So I think the more parents and coaches can work together, the better that's going to be for that child, rather than deciding, do I please mum or dad, or do I please the coach?
Yeah, that's a great point. You mentioned buy-in, which is probably something that coaches, clubs all aim for, isn't it? It's trying to engage parents where they have an understanding of what you're trying to do as a coach or what the club's trying to do. I mean, but what has been your approach over the years to get that buy-in from parents? I mean, how do you approach it as a coach, but also when you're working within a club?
I think the biggest thing's being upfront and clear with your philosophy and then sticking to that philosophy. So if at the start of the season we're telling the parents it's equal game time, everybody plays equally, we share it around, they play in different positions, you've got to stick and live by that philosophy. Whether that means we get to a cup final, we don't change it, sticking to that philosophy is key. And I think once the parents know and understand what they're signing up to, and whether that is equal game time, whether that's we put our strongest team out, that's up to individual clubs and coaches to decide. But I think being upfront and clear with your philosophy from the get-go and living that philosophy is the important part of it, not changing every game and not having that consistency with it.
Yeah, and I think that's largely what happens at the beginning of each season, doesn't it? I think some sort of welcome pack or induction pack gets shared with parents, and that beginning of the season meeting to sort of set the tone for the season, I think it's a great opportunity to give parents an insight into how you work. I mean, throughout the season then, do you do any, or would you recommend any sort of touch points with parents to keep them updated on anything? You know, sometimes you might just need to have a little bit of a reminder what you set the expectations to be.
Yeah, I think, a lot of coaches will have WhatsApp groups or emails with the parents. I think keeping them regularly updated is massive. The other bit that I think is important for me is them understanding what you're doing with their child and why. So the problem I see a lot is that coaches will play a player in a certain position and they'll have an absolutely great reason for it. It'll be linked to what they're working on, put them in defence. And at the end of the game, the parent will be like, oh, why was he or she playing in defence this week? They never play there. And then the coach is having to explain, well, actually, this is the reasons why. Well, I think sometimes if we can have those conversations before and go to parents, go, look, I'm going to play your son, your daughter in defence for part of the game today. One of the things they're working on is their 1v1 defending. So if I play them in defence today, they're going to get loads of opportunities to work on 1v1 defending. Mm. And I think front loading that with parents is the best way to go about it. First of all, it's specific to my child. So I understand that's important for my child to be working on that. Secondly, the fact you've had the time to go and explain that to them, I think that helps with their understanding. And then you don't have the bit where the parents are looking at the kid going, why are you playing there? And the kid's like, I don't know. So I think building in that beforehand, before training, before matches around, this is what your kid's working on. This is my plan for them. These are the positions we're going to play them in. This is why we're doing it. Really helps.
That's a great point. That links back to that philosophy, right? So I think from what you've just shared, it's very much more developmental of trying to develop that individual and support them in their footballing journey. And equally, there may be some coaches that are, we're going to try and win every game. We're going to be quite rigid and strict around game minutes, etc., which there may be an argument for that being a better approach, or, you know, it's a different type of approach. But as long as you're clear with that, it will allow you to share and rationalise why you're doing what you're doing. And I think that's a massive point from what you said.
Agreed. I mean, if your philosophy is that we're going to put our strongest team out each week, no problem. As long as the parents and the players understand that's what they're signing up for. If you start off with it's equal game time and then it changes to now it's the best team every week, then you're changing, you're moving the goalposts, and that's not fair. I just think being upfront, being honest, explaining your philosophy, and sticking to that philosophy is the key bit. Not getting bogged down with results, because we can get success in other ways. And this is where I think having individual targets for players can be a massive, massive help for the coach. Mm. And it might just be at the start of the game, we have my tactics board out, I've got a list of the kids' names, and they come and write a little match day target up of what they're going to try and achieve in that game. Mm. And I would then share that with the parents so they can see what target their son or daughter's written down. Because if they put down, I want to practice dribbling in the attacking half every time I get the ball, hopefully mum or dad won't be on the sideline shouting, pass it, pass it, pass it, every time they get it. So they've got an understanding of what their child's working on, and then they can support that and help with that conversation.
No, that's brilliant. And I guess in terms of then you've got a group of parents that there is buying from, but you've got one or two that don't have that buying and are in conflict with how you're working. I mean, have you had any experience of dealing with that over the years? And, you know, if so, what advice could you give to coaches that might be in that position, really?
Yeah, I mean, it's different in grassroots football to academy football.
Yeah.
In academy football, it's take it or leave it, really, isn't it? This is how we do it. If you don't like it, then that's up to you. But I also feel like you can be a little bit like that in grassroots football. Like, if this isn't what you want, if you don't want me to focus on the individual development of your your child, give them equal game time, then okay, maybe this isn't the place for you. You're not going to please everybody. Whatever you do, you're not going to please all the parents and all the kids. And some kids might go to other teams, and that's okay. And you'll get players come to you because of the way you do it. So I think understanding you're not going to please everybody is a huge part of it. But living by your philosophy and your morals is the key part.
Yeah, that's great. And I suppose getting that back in from your club as well, you know, sometimes I can imagine it can feel very much you against everyone as a coach, right? When you've got the bag of balls, the cones, and you're out there by yourself, having that support from your club and that relationship with your club, that if you do have any issues, you're not having to just solely deal with it yourself. And I think whether you're working in academy football or grassroots football, most clubs now will have people in place, whether it's safeguarding, you know, whether there's a club chairman or a secretary that can support with this, you know, and even, yeah, you know, a head of coaching of some capacity too. So I think that's really important.
And most clubs will be really aligned in how they do it. So most clubs, the under sevens, under eights, under nines, under tens, will all be, it's equal game time. That's what it is. And if the club's aligned and the coaches are aligned and the parents have been told, then there's not a lot more you can do. As long as you're, yeah, as the coach, not changing and going against the philosophy, then you'll have the backing of the club and everybody else. And the other thing with the parents is just get them involved. I think it's hard as a coach. Like you said, you turn up, you've got to put the goals up, you've got to put the nets up, you've got to make sure the footballs are pumped up, you've got to put the respect barrier up, you've got the opposition arriving, you've got to welcome them, you've got your team arriving, you're trying to welcome them, the referee turns up. There's a lot there for a coach to do. And I think the biggest thing, we try and get the parents involved in as much as possible and allow you then as the coach to focus on the team, the players, get the parents on a road to put the nets up, put the goals up, put the respect barriers out. I think it'll give them a bigger appreciation for what you have to do as a coach as well. It's not just rocking up at 10 o'clock, here we go, let's play. There's a lot more to it. So getting a rota together at the start of the season, again, where the parents can have roles for a month or whatever it is to help out, is, I think, really helpful to the coach.
Yeah, and I guess if you're the coach of Matt Daughter's team, it sounds like you've got a budding volunteer that's happy to get stuck in
definitely. I'm always there picking the cones up at the end when my daughter's team. No problem with that. I'll always help with those things.
Brilliant. And I think that's a great point, isn't it? You know, about sort of maintaining that good working relationship between the parent and the coach. It isn't just solely the football stuff. I think largely in grassroots, it is about that, the environment, and almost building a bit of a family within your team and having that inclusivity for people to get involved. You know, I've had some experiences over the years of some of the best environments I've gone into where when you arrive, parents are getting stuck in, helping out with cups of teas, you know, food, etc. And they just make you feel really welcome, and then it sets the tone for the rest of the morning. So it isn't solely just about the coaching element. There is a wider piece there of, you know, trying to make it a community when they're involved with you.
Definitely. And I think one of the key things with that is allowing them time to do things away from football together.
Yeah.
Go to different schools, different things like that. If the only time they get to mix is at football, you might be missing an opportunity there to build that social side. And again, you can get all the parents involved with that. Might be a barbecue or going bowling or little things like that that help bring the team together, but also bring all the parents in as well and build that sense of community that, you know, we're all in this together, we can all help and pull in the same direction.
Yeah, that's a great tip. You know, I think that's something, if you're listening to this as a coach of a team and you haven't got that in place, you know, that's certainly something that you as a club can look to do, or even raise a little bit of funding to get some, you know, activities outside of the football season, or your football time, sorry. I mean, really, to finish then, have you got any sort of last tips then for coaches that are looking to maintain those and build those positive relationships with parents?
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest one is working with the parents, not against. Traditionally, it would be coaches and players one side of the pitch, parents the other side of the pitch. Maybe do your team talk in front of the parents, so they can hear what's going on, what you're asking the players to do. I know that might be a bit controversial. Some coaches might think, oh, I don't know about that. But if the parents know what you're asking the players to do, I said, hopefully then the messages that they're given on the other side of the pitch is backing up what you're asking them to do as a coach. And then the other thing I'd say would be around like setting individual targets. Now, that might be that the players do that themselves. That might be you do that as a coach. But having an individual target for a player and the parent then knowing what that player's working on and why will help with their understanding of why you might play them in different positions or ask them to do different things. Mm. And the other thing with that is that you might get success and achieve the target, but you might lose the game. Well, okay, we've lost the game and we might not have got success there, but we might achieve individual targets, which helps the players get success that way. We might take the focus then off of the scoreline, which you might not have much control over. So if I've asked one player, can you, when you win the ball in the attacking half, I want you to dribble. I want you to go and beat, if you can, five players in the next half. Well, they might do that, but we might lose 2-1. But that's success for that individual. So I think that will help as well with getting the parents on side and taking the focus off of results and more on their son or daughter's development.
Yeah, I think that's a great point, you know, and that the outcome of winning a game, again, if you're up front with that at the beginning of the season and throughout the season around what success is, you know, that is just a moment in time, and 5 years' time, no one will remember that game that you've won or lost. It is a process, isn't it, of trying to help them to improve and develop. And as you said, I think by focusing on that, it will make it a better environment for children to learn and develop and actually have fun with what they're doing rather than worrying about winning or losing a game every week.
Yeah, unfortunately, it's normally the players are not too bad with the winning and losing. It's the parents that are more of the issue. So I think trying to take their focus off of that winning and losing and go, we can get success in other ways. We might lose the game, but we've been successful in different ways. That's a big part of it for me.
Yeah, brilliant. Well, Matt, really good advice throughout this. And, you know, I'm sure for anyone that's listening in, you know, that are either the parent themselves or in a position where they're coaching a team or running a club, you know, I think there's some really good points that you've made. And, you know, having seen you work and got to know you, I know you see it both sides of the fence as a parent and as a coach. And yeah. I think that always is helpful. It gives you a bit of context and then a deeper understanding of why certain parents may behave in certain ways and equally why certain coaches might behave in certain ways too. So, you know, I think you've shared some points that show that you've always been able to have a real good balance in how you deal and engage with parents, but equally really support their child in developing. So yeah, thanks for your time and for tuning in, and for anyone that has been listening in, and you know, for anyone that is looking for more content, check out the Football DNA website or our podcast series. And yeah, I'm sure we'll see some more of Matt's work as time goes on. So thanks again, Matt.
Cheers, Ross. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the latest episode of the Football DNA podcast. We hope you found it enjoyable and gained lots of valuable information that you can take into your coaching for the rest of the year. In case you didn't know, we have our own coaching app, Football DNA, which you can download from the App Store or through our website, footballdna.co.uk. Go and check it out to find over 1,000 videos, including top practices, sessions, and full season curriculums from our expert coaches.